Hi, everybody. This is Sarah of the Pharmacy Preceptor podcast. The podcast you're about to listen to was originally recorded in one session. However, the information was so good, we struggled to keep it below the normal 10 to 15 minute time limit. As such, we have decided to break this podcast up into two separate podcasts. So coming up, you'll hear part one of our podcast about Flip the Pharmacy. And then in 2 weeks, you'll have the conclusion of that podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Ryan, and today we have with us two of our colleagues who are going to discuss Flip the Pharmacy, which is an innovative practice in community pharmacy. So, Laura, Teresa, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hi, I'm Teresa Toll. I'm a pharmacist and owner of Bay Street Pharmacy in Sebastian, Florida, and I'm part of Flip the Pharmacy Cohort 1, which we're going to learn about here shortly. I'm also very active in the pharmacy association world and I'm a past president of the Florida Pharmacy Association and will be president of the American Pharmacists Association and being sworn in as president-elect in March next year. So excited to be here, and I'm especially excited to talk about Flip the Pharmacy and all the cool things we've been doing this last year.
We're really excited to have you. And then Laura, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is, I am an assistant professor, and my specialty is community pharmacy. I'm affiliated with Palm Beach Atlantic University, and I serve as a coach for Flip the Pharmacy Cohort 1 in Florida. I'm also our team lead for Cohort 1 and Cohort 2 in the state of Florida. So I'm excited to be here and talking about a really cool initiative in Flip the Pharmacy.
And I'm really excited to be learning about this. So I was talking to Ryan before we start here, and Ryan is also involved in Flip the Pharmacy. So I'm really the newbie to this discussion and learning all about it. What does Flip the Pharmacy mean? Laura, do you kind of want to talk a little bit about, like, what does that mean?
Sure, I'll start. And Teresa, if I forget anything, please feel free to chime in. So Flip the Pharmacy really describes a program that its focus is intending to transform how community pharmacy practices operate within their workflow to move beyond just filling prescriptions and really focusing on longitudinal patient care, providing patient care services over time, following up with our patients and that sort of thing. This really is an initiative or a program that originated from a partnership with the Community Pharmacy Foundation and CPESN USA. CPESN serves as our, they call themselves the coordinating center, but essentially they prepare materials for us. They kind of define the curriculum, which they call a change package for the month-to-month initiatives. They help set program goals and really keep us all informed. And really Flip the Pharmacy, some of our long-term goals are influencing that practice transformation in 5,000 pharmacies across the U.S., submitting 1 million e-care plans, and also generating reductions in blood pressure and A1C measurements over time.
So Teresa, I'd love to hear from you on, because obviously you've jumped into this program. Why do you think this program is so important for our community pharmacies?
So Laura talked about CPSN a little bit. CPSN stands for Community Pharmacy Enhanced Services Network. I became a believer in CPSN, I think probably in 2016, and finally jumped into that in 2017 and became the lead luminary for Florida for that initiative. Basically what I saw with CPESN is that pharmacy needed to change. We were not going to survive on the trajectory we were on. And listening to Joe Moose talk about how we were on this train track and had something coming at us from the other direction, you know, like there just wasn't any great outcome in the way that we're doing business now as community pharmacy. So we need to be thinking about transforming. So I became really the ambassador for Florida at that time, and we started CPSN Florida, which of course Laura has been very instrumentally involved in. What we found with Flip the Pharmacy is that the things that we were doing with CPESN, learning to do e-care plans, learning to document patient care, taking care of these patients longitudinally, was happening slowly. There wasn't enough maybe incentive or momentum because we didn't have payer contracts yet. So trying to get our pharmacies going and doing this wasn't happening fast enough. So when we heard about Flip the Pharmacy, that was our aha, like, oh, wow, this will force us to do this. This will force us to kind of get into that mode of really doing these transformations that we need to in patient care. And it didn't hurt that Laura has not only a residency, but a fellowship and has spent a ton of time in this area and really wanted to dive in. And she's kind of pushy. She basically said, we are going to do this. We are going to have Team Florida. And, who's going to be in as the lead in Florida? What choice did I have to say? But I'll do it. So that's how it happened with me.
What are some benefits, either Teresa or Laura? I mean, both. What are some benefits to flip the pharmacy? Why would somebody who's in a community setting want to even look at this as a possibility? I know, Teresa, you talked a little bit about that more the past model, I think we're already starting to move in the direction of change, but the past model was not going to be sustainable. So, I mean, that's definitely one, but what are some other benefits that you experience as a pharmacist?
Definitely, one of the things that we've seen is just transformation in my own team and at Bay Street Pharmacy. So the engagement, the way the program is structured is really set up to involve multiple members of the team. If it was up to me to make this happen in my pharmacy, it wouldn't, because I'm too busy with other initiatives. But really, many of my pharmacists have gotten involved, learned to submit e-care plans, having many more conversations with patients. But also my technicians are submitting e-care plans or involved, and my customer service personnel as well. The first progression was related to blood pressure measurements. And so they had us train our personnel with the American Heart Association training. And so several of my customer service employees got involved in taking blood pressures and engaging with patients and then calling the pharmacist out when we needed to. So that's been really cool as far as a reason or a motivation to do this. It's just, I think it's been very refreshing for my team, kind of gave them something else to focus on other than just filling prescriptions all the time. It's definitely strengthened our relationship with our patients. Additionally, as we're looking at payer opportunities, we need to know how to do this. And we have those right now. So Laura, you want to touch on that part of it?
Yeah, I was just going to interject a couple of things once you were finished, but and maybe to roll in a bit to the previous question and this one together. I think one reason why this is so important and a big benefit from a CPESN perspective and a community pharmacy perspective is that this really is a proof of concept. We sometimes have pharmacies that one pharmacy is doing something really neat or really innovative or really taking care of their patients, but we don't really have a good example of many pharmacies mobilizing together. So this is that proof of concept that in the first cohort, I think we had about 550 pharmacies that were enrolled in the program, all working on the same initiative at the same time, implementing the same things and really moving the needle together. And I think that's really important because, from a payer perspective, it's unrealistic to expect them to contract with one pharmacy to offer a service to one particular set of patients in that one community. But if you have an aggregate of pharmacies that can do this together, then that's a lot more likely. And it also helps us all push to collect data on the same initiative. So for example, whenever we were focused on hypertension, which was for about 6 months and before COVID really came and knocked us back off of our feet a little bit. I believe there were around 300,000 care plans that were submitted. A large number of those included blood pressure values. And so there's just not been something like that in the community pharmacy space that's ever happened before. And I think it helps us tell a really powerful story. Also, what I've seen as a team lead and a team coach is it really provides confidence to the pharmacies that are doing that. They receive a curriculum. It includes training materials. They have a dedicated practice transformation coach that engages with them at least once per month. Part of that for me as a coach is accountability to the pharmacies and make sure that they're actually implementing the intervention, but also being there as a resource when they have questions or they wonder, how has another pharmacy done this? Well, fortunately, most of our coaches coach multiple pharmacies and also speak with other coaches so we can provide some real-time examples to our teams.
Yeah, I those are really important points. And if I can distill it down into two main things, right? It's we're caring for our patients better. And we're also demonstrating the value of the care we're providing so that, so hopefully we can be reimbursed for it. I mean, if that's as a distilled version of what we're doing, would I be accurate in saying that, would you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. And then I know, I mean, it doesn't come without some work to change a practice that, you know, we've done for, I don't know, 150 years in some community pharmacies. So what do you see as some of the drawbacks to really starting this program and getting it up and running?
I personally struggle with giving my team something to do that I haven't done myself. So I think that that was a little difficult for me. I would say month one was really hard, just getting started. And it was like, I think the end of month one before we even did anything, because I was trying to dive into it and understand it. So I've learned, I think, and maybe Laura will speak to this, but I've learned to allow her to come in and help me. And then we've had some students, so hopefully she'll talk about that, her rotation, because that's been really helpful too. So that was one of the hard parts for me. Now I'm better about telling them what's coming and kind of letting them run with it. Still somewhat guiding that, but you know, letting them run with it more. So that's probably one of the drawbacks. Just the time commitment to understand the change package every month and do it. But again, I've already spoken of the benefits, and they've been great. And I can tell you, I'm glad that Laura referenced the COVID-19 crisis kind of knocking us off our trajectory. But the relationships we were building with patients about blood pressure in particular, like the responses we were getting from patients, like, thank you for caring. Thank you for asking me how my blood pressure is doing. Thank you for understanding that, that these medicines need to work and that you need to understand that. That was going really well. Unfortunately, that somewhat got halted. So kind of getting back into that has been a little bit difficult as well, because we really had built some great momentum. And then we switched gears a little because we changed where we went from the next progression went to opioids. So I think we're gonna have to continue to learn to build on all of those concepts. But again, as Laura mentioned, it is proof of concept. You know, we need to learn how to adapt these things to our practice. So not a lot of drawbacks, though. A lot of positives. And again, just the overall response to my team. And I think they just feel more satisfied and fulfilled now than they did before. Like, they really are engaging with patients better.
Yeah, I had written that down too as a potential thing to mention as a drawback is, you know, change is hard and it really requires the entire pharmacy team to be on board. And in the end, that's a benefit, but in the beginning, that's a challenge. And so I think that's something to acknowledge coming into the program. And if a pharmacy is onboarding or if there's something that they're struggling with, you know, one of the questions they should step back and ask themselves are, who's implementing the initiative? Is it relying on one person or do we have a whole team approach? That's something that's really critical. And it really requires that time commitment from the pharmacy or at least from one person in the pharmacy to become really well versed in what that monthly initiative is and then teach that out to the rest of the team. So there is some time commitment and it is a bit of work and you really have to stay on top of it. Things in CPSN, they move incredibly quickly. Teresa and I joke about that all the time. So if you don't stay on top of it, you can almost get that feeling of feeling like you've been left in the dust. So you have to keep with it and stick with it. So